You probably, based on our songs tonight, already gathered what our theme will be tonight. And if you want to, we'll turn to the Great Love chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll go ahead and start, we'll dive right in and we'll start with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of an angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. When I was asked to be prepared to give a message tonight, as with all my messages, I prayed that the Lord's words would be on my heart, and I would be able to deliver a message that would benefit all of us and be a blessing to us all. The first thing that came to my heart was the subject of love. I am not a love expert or a marriage counselor by any means, and don't think I would want to be. But there's so much in the Word of God that is all about love. I believe the very basis of creation was from God's love, to create everything out of nothing and give us life through His power and glory. God gave humanity a perfect world and the picture of how marriage should be in being one man and one woman, to love one another and grow together. Everything came from God's charity to give and create. We know that darkness came into the world, though. The devil tried to manipulate and darken the things God had created. But God is long-suffering. He is just, and He is kind. There are punishments to face, as we all know. You can't just be a follower of God, do wrong, and expect everything to be okay. God disciplines us accordingly, as is His teaching for us to do those. I think I missed that. And is His teaching for us to do to those coming of age and to each other. But that is also love. If you're a child and you're in the middle of getting the rod of correction, it may not seem like love in that moment. But I'm sure we who are grown and can look back with honesty can say that most of our spankings or corrections were because our parents or someone loved us enough to correct us and straighten us up. Unless you want a spanking because you can't fall asleep, but that's another matter you can ask Dad about. But the negative source of doing wrong and not obeying what we are told can be brought to a positive outcome through correction. Proverbs 23:13-14 states, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 13:24 states, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. This proverb highlights that loving correction and timely discipline are essential for a child's character, development, and well-being. And it's not the little taps on the hand or single swat that does it. I believe there's a saying, being a gentle parent. That does nothing but might make a child more mad and learn nothing. And you say, how do you know? If you look at Proverbs 20 and verse 30, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Painful discipline or consequences can purge wickedness and correct the inner stubborn nature of a person. I'll testify for a moment where I experienced two of these proverbs in one beating. I remember a day, and I don't remember what we did, but my brother and I did something we shouldn't have, and Mom, as was procedure, took us into the bedroom to give us a spanking. And it's funny how their bed, too, was always just the right height, just the angle of it, to where they could just get the right perfect blow. And it's almost like the bed grew with you as you grew. So we bent over, and our butts, again, were in prime position, but we were about to be getting our beating, and we both got the urge to put our hands behind our butts. So Mom gave us a warning. She said, "Move your hands." And why we found that funny, I don't know, but we chuckled when she said it. So she said it again, "Move your hands or they'll get hit too." And we chuckled again, and the funnier part was we could hear the smile in Mom's voice when she said that, because she knew what was about to happen. We didn't move our hands, and as you can imagine what happened next, have you ever accidentally smacked your knuckles on a piece of wood and heard that distinct crack on bone of wood? That's what happened, and we weren't chuckling then. As I said, I learned two things that day. Whatever I did that prompted the spanking, I received correction for that, so I wouldn't do it again. Mom addressed it when we did wrong. We were told not to do it again, and it was reinforced with the punishment of a spanking. And I also learned Mom will still beat us if our hands are trying to protect our butts. And I'm very thankful that my parents did discipline us. But getting back on track, we can see God's love sown all throughout the scripture. Creation, being in a biblical relationship in matrimony, having children, God's guiding hand using all the men and women of the Bible to accomplish his plan and purposes. And also the subject I wanted to focus on tonight, which was Calvary's love. This is ultimately the first thing that struck my thoughts leading up to tonight, and that's Calvary's love. No Valentine's Day card or letter, no amount of chocolate, no grand gesture of love can amount to the full scale of love that was Jesus dying for our sins and all that is to be fulfilled. You know the song the choir sings called Calvary's Love. It's a wonderful song explaining just that, and we'll look at it a bit tonight and what it entails. So the song starts out, "Calvary's love will sail forever, bright and shining, strong and free, like an ark of peace and safety on the sea of human need." I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight, but how often do we thank God for the love he has shown us? Thanking him for his wing or ark referenced here, granting us peace and safety. In our prayers and talking with God, we can get needy and we ask, "Lord, I need this. Lord, help us to do this. Lord, we ask for that. Lord, we need and we need and we need." On the sea of human need, if you will. But how often do we thank him for his love that he has shown us and what he has done for us? Our God is a jealous God. He will provide for us, but he needs to receive some things from us. Much like a marriage or a relationship, it can't just be one-sided. Otherwise, what's the point? You don't feel loved from someone who never speaks to you, never cares for you, never provides for you, or is never there for you. That's the great thing about God. He's always there. Never a friend like Jesus. As God provides for us, we should also be doing our part by pressing toward those marks of his teachings and his callings, always asking and listening, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And it's not just waiting on God either. You don't sit around all day expecting everyone to do everything for you. We should start our day off with prayer. Maybe listening to or reading some Bible scriptures and spending time talking with the Lord. They say your most important meal of the day is a good breakfast, so why not start your day with the most important thing in our lives, that being God? And you people that skip breakfast and just go straight to lunch, I don't know what to tell you. You're in trouble. But you can read your Bible while you eat, listen to some songs, a message or devotions from your phone on the way to work. And where there's a will, there's a way. You'll be able to do it. So further lyrics from this song, Calvary's Love. Through the hours and all the ages, those tired of sailing on their own, finally rest inside the shadow cast by Calvary's love across their souls. We'll go ahead and turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, and we'll start in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he received. And going back to verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That is love. The joy of Christ, knowing what the completion of dying on the cross will bring to him and to us all. He endured everything so that we can also have everything. His salvation he freely offers. He is the author and finisher of our faith. It starts with Christ and it ends with Christ. We can't even begin to imagine everything Christ suffered through. The history is in his word, and the descriptions given we can paint a picture, but we can't truly imagine it. It's human evil, it's human hatred, it's human rejection. It's his horrendous death. But in his death, there is victory. There is love, and there is salvation. And I'll go ahead and I'll make the plea for salvation here. If anyone is here or listening online and not saved, please do not delay the need to accept Christ's love and salvation tonight. It is not complicated, and it's not confusing. It's not, well, what if this and what if that? It's not, well, maybe I might be. Don't get in your head about it. You either are or you aren't. And it's not, God loves you just as you are, as we all hear these days. The world is getting very tricky about catching people with that. I saw an advertisement from a pastor. I don't know what the church is that he was a part of, but he was explaining salvation as, come to Jesus just as you are, and then once you start living for him, you'll no longer want to do the things of the world. And I thought, nope. It's not a gradual thing that you just grow into and or develop. You decide right here and now, or wherever you are, that tonight you no longer want to live for yourself. You no longer want to possess all the things of this world. You no longer want to have that what if or I might be in your heart. No. It's a simple matter of repenting of your sinful self, putting away all earthly things, and asking Jesus Christ to save you. It's a heart matter. You feel it. You want what Christ wants. You want to live for God. It doesn't get any clearer than Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and it's my favorite salvation reference. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Please do not pass up an opportunity tonight to accept Jesus as your Savior before it is and could be too late. So we'll look at the remaining lyrics from the song Calvary's Love. Calvary's love can heal the spirit. Life has crushed and cast aside. You know, if you're always sad and looking for that thing that's missing, he can heal it. and redeemed till heaven's promise fills with joy once empty eyes. That emptiness will be gone when Christ enters your heart. This is my favorite part coming up in the song. The words here are so deep and pictures what comes of a soul when we are saved and what Christ offers. It never really hit me until taking time to just read these lyrics and dwell on them. But they go, so desire to tell his story of a love that loved enough to die, burns away all other passions, and fed by Calvary's love becomes a fire. While I was writing this, emotion just came over me about how devastating those final moments were for Christ. But then reading this final verse, it's just powerful. And words can't explain how amazing his love really is. It's happiness, it's joy, it's excitement sharing that story. The end of the song, and we'll wrap up. Granddaddy's always saying the clock beats him, and I'm beating the clock tonight, I think. Calvary's love, Calvary's love. Priceless gift that makes us worthy of. The deepest sin can't rise above. Calvary's love. I am certainly thankful that Christ loves me and cares for me, and when you're saved and accept his precious love, you have that same feeling. Nothing and no one can take that away. I truly hope each and every one of us here, and maybe listening in, have that love within them and can truly say that they have accepted Christ's salvation. It's the most amazing gift and the most amazing love story. I do believe God has truly been good to us here at Faith Baptist Church. And you really can pinpoint all the times in our history here and in each other's lives where we can say that was because of God's love and care. He's not here tonight, but let's also continue to pray for our pastor, continue his ministry here, and for the strength to carry on. And lastly, may we as a body also love and cherish one another as Christ loved us. We'll go ahead and bow our heads and end with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this evening to gather together in your house. Where two or three are gathered, you are in our midst. We just thank you for your love that you have bestowed upon us and for the gift of salvation that you have presented unto us should we accept it. We do pray that you would help us grow in your word, help us be strengthened by your word. We thank you again for all the blessings that we have here because of you. We do pray for those who could not be here tonight for physical ailments, for our pastor, for our deacon, and for any others. We just pray that you would be with them, strengthen and guide them. And we do pray that you would watch over us as we do go throughout the rest of this week. Help us look to you for our guidance and for our understanding. We pray that you would forgive us all of our many sins. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.